Blog Talk Radio.
Worship on Sunday morning. My name is Bishop Christina Rake, and I'm very happy to be with you today. Let me tell you a little bit about who we are. The Charismatic Universalist Church is a church in the Catholic Communion, following Catholic theology, which is very ancient and goes right back to the beginnings of the church. However, we are socially liberal, which is pretty much how Jesus was. We welcome everybody into our church. We are an open and affirming church. We will marry those who come to us to marry, whether they be two people of different sexes or those of the same sex. We believe everybody is entitled to an equal part in the church's worship because Jesus was all about welcoming people to his table and not dividing lines to say who's in and who's out. In fact, if you read scripture in the New Testament, that was the sort of thing that really pissed him off. So we do not do that. We follow his teaching, and we attempt to be like him more than tell people what he thought. So that's who we are. We welcome you to this morning if you're new to us. Usually, the first half hour is when I do scripture, the Bishop's Bible, and I read scripture chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and explain what it means. That sounds like a huge undertaking, and it kind of is, but it does help people to understand how to read the Bible in such a way that it's a story. Because it is the story of our salvation. However, if you've started at Genesis and plan to read through Revelation, you're going to get slogged down right around Deuteronomy. So don't do that. We have on our website, I understand the website's going up and down, and we'll have that fixed today. But there'll be up there a sheet that you can look at to explain to you what books to read in what order so that the Bible is a story that you can follow. The story of ancient Israel up through the beginnings of the Christian church. Now, usually I do Bishop's Bible, but because it's our last Sunday together before Christmas, I'm going to do some things that are a little bit different. The first thing I'd like to do with you is a ritual blessing of your Christmas tree. And that sounds a little odd, but, you know, Catholics have a blessing for everything. And when I was reading my Book of Rites, I found a blessing for a Christmas tree, and I thought, that's awesome. So we're going to do that now, but we should begin all things as Jesus taught us to, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is the shorter rite of the blessing of the Christmas tree. Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, listen to the words of the prophet Ezekiel. Therefore say, thus says the Lord, I too will take from the crest of the cedar, from its topmost branches, tear off a tender shoot, and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel I will plant it. It shall put forth branches and bear fruit and become a majestic cedar. Birds of every kind shall dwell beneath it, every winged thing in the shade of its boughs, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, bring low the high tree, lift high the lowly tree, wither up the green tree, and make the withered tree bloom. Let us pray. Lord our God, we praise you for the light of creation, the sun, the moon, and the stars of the night. We praise you for the light of Israel, the law, the prophets, and the wisdom of the scriptures. We praise you for Jesus Christ, your Son. He is Emmanuel, God with us, the Prince of Peace, who fills us with the wonder of your love. Lord God, let your blessing come upon us as we illumine this tree. May the light and cheer it gives be a sign of the joy that fills our hearts. May all who delight in this tree come to the knowledge and joy of salvation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? So much of Christmas is about light and dark, the juxtaposition. And in our reading, too, God says, you know, I will bring down the lowly tree, I will lift up, bring down the high tree, lift up the lowly. And that's what Jesus was all about. He said, those of you who want to be the first will be the last, and those of you who are last will be first. It's all about balancing out those resources and that power. It's about inviting those who are considered untouchable and those who are proud, bringing down, because we all know that pride goeth before the fall. And those of us who are proud, and I will have to say myself included, have tripped many times because of that pride. We need to humble ourselves. Humble, but not naive, as Pope Benedict said, which I thought was a really beautiful saying. So, what I want to do today is talk about Mary. You know, there's something about our mother that Mary is the one doctrine of the church that trips up our Protestant brothers and sisters. There are so many people who have converted who said, the last thing I couldn't do was accept the way the church prays to Mary. A lot of people think like she's a goddess who's co-equal with God, and that's not the case. That's not who she is. But I wanted to just talk about some key doctrines about her before we move into worship. The first thing is, a lot of people think that to honor Mary, and that's what we do, we venerate her, we do not worship her. We honor her in the way that you would honor a judge or a police officer, except a little bit more. If, let's say, Abraham Lincoln were here, you know, someone who's huge in the civil religion, we would give him tremendous honor and accolades because he gave birth to a new nation. Well, Mary gave birth to the Messiah, so how much more should we honor her? So let me explain the relationship we have with her in this way, which I think will help make a little more sense. Let's say your best friend, your dearest friend of all time, has to go away on a trip. And his mom lives a couple blocks from you. And while your friend's away, you go visit his mother. You mow her lawn. You check on her when it's really hot, make sure her air conditioning's working. You come and sit with her and have coffee and talk to her so she's not lonely. You take her out to dinner when your family's going, just so she can get out of the house. Do you think that you're honoring her is going to detract from or enhance your relationship with your friend? And that's the big question that Catholics ask. You know, a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters are like, no, what you're doing with Mary is making Christ angry. And we just ask, why? She's his mom. Why would he be angry that we're so happy that she gave us the Messiah? It's kind of a silly argument. I don't think it would make him angry at all. Now, one of the titles we give to our trips people up as well, we refer to her as the Theotokos, which is Greek for the Mother of God. Now, a lot of people are like, God doesn't have a mother. He had no creation. Well, her relationship to the Trinity is she is the Father's daughter, she is the Holy Spirit's spouse, and she is the mother of the Son. And if Christ has two natures, he is both human and divine, she is the mother of all of him, not just part of him. My mother didn't just give birth to a creative person, which I am. She gave birth to some of the bad stuff, too. That's not the case for Christ. I'm not comparing myself to him. I would come up very short. But in ancient Israel, the queen of the land was not the king's wife. It was his mother. And if you go back and read in 2 Kings, Solomon, when his mother comes to ask him for a favor for someone, she walks into the room and he drops to her feet. Now he puts a ring on her finger. He crowns her. He sits her next to him and says, I will give you anything. Now she is the mother of God. She is the queen mother. And we honor her as such. In Revelation, we find that the mother of Christ is chaste, but eventually she's crowned with a crown of 12 stars, each star representing the tribes of Israel. Because she is of the house of David, she sort of stands in between the worlds of ancient Israel and the tribes of Israel and the Messiah. She's right in the middle. She's the one that changes everything. One of the other terms we have for her, is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, people are like, what do you mean that Mary's the new Ark of the Covenant? That's preposterous. Well, in the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things. The two most important being the staff of Aaron, who was the priest, and the manna that fell from heaven. Both of those were in the Ark of the Covenant. And Christ is both our priest and he is the manna that fell from heaven. He is the central part of the Eucharist, the bread of heaven. In fact, she gives birth to Christ in Bethlehem, which is Hebrew for house of bread. And it all kind of ties together, and I'm going very quickly through it. However, our reading today is one of the more interesting relationships of Mary with the Ark of the Covenant. She is told by the angel Gabriel that God will come and overshadow her. Now, in Exodus, we read about where the ark is kept in the tent, that the power of God himself overshadowed the ark. It's the same word, overshadowed it. And so she had that same thing of the Holy Spirit overshadowing her. Well, she goes to Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth hears her voice from a distance, John the Baptist, who is in Elizabeth's womb, Elizabeth and Mary are cousins, leaps with joy. Well, we read in 1 Kings that David, when the Ark of the Covenant is finally rescued from the Assyrians, David leaps and dances with joy before it. Also, this is, speaks back to the Mother of God. Elizabeth says to Mary, "How is it that the mother of my Lord visits me?" The term "my Lord" is the word that it's a translation of the word that the Israelites used for God. How is it that the Mother of God comes to see me? And Mary stays with Elizabeth for 3 months. And again, in the story of David, the Ark of the Covenant comes and stays with David for 3 months. Now, one of the most important parts of Mary is that without Mary, you know, there is no Christ. That's kind of one of the biggest parts that we have with her. Now, I want to talk a little bit about her perpetual virginity. All right. First of all, we have this ancient book that almost made it into the New Testament. In fact, St. Augustine voted for it. It's called the Proto-Evangelion of James. And in it, we read that Mary was a temple virgin, which is essentially a nun. She stayed in the temple and was consecrated, which means she was never allowed to have sex. She was celibate, just like a nun. And once the temple virgins reached a certain age, typically of 13, 14, they were released from the temple to people, men, to marry who would respect their vows. And so when she hears, "How is this that I do not know man?" We discussed this last week. What she's saying is that she never knows man the way we say, "I don't smoke, I don't drink." Okay. Now, a lot of people say, well, in Scripture it says that Jesus' brothers and sisters come to see him. We go back to the Proto-Evangelion of James. When Mary is passed before all of these Israelite men to see who God wants her to marry, when she walks past Joseph, his staff blooms with a lily. And you still see this in iconography. If you see an image of Joseph in iconography on an icon, there's a lily on his staff. You know, this book was written in the first century, and the only reason it didn't make it into Scripture was there were no witnesses to say that James had written it. But when Joseph hears that he's going to take Mary into his home as his wife, his response is, "Why me? I'm an old man with grown children." He's a widower with grown children. So that's one explanation of who Jesus' brothers and sisters are. However, one of the more credible explanations is that the brothers and sisters were really cousins. Because in Hebrew, there is no word. When the translation went from Aramaic into Greek, there is no word for cousin in Aramaic. Everybody's a brother and sister. There are a lot of other cultures, for instance, Filipino culture, where no matter what the relationship is, they're called a cousin. No matter what it could be a cousin five times removed. They could be, you know, a step aunt. It doesn't matter. They're a cousin. That's what they're called. And it's the same in Aramaic. Everybody was a brother and sister way back in Genesis. One of Abraham's nephews is referred to as his brother because there weren't words in Aramaic or in Hebrew for certain relationships. And so those coming to him and referred to as his brothers could also have been relatives who didn't have another term. In fact, James, the Apostle James, is referred to as one of Christ's brothers. But he is the son of Mary Clopas, we're told in the New Testament, who is Mary, the Mother of God's cousin. So there are lots of explanations for the siblings. Now, some people say that she had children after Jesus because it says that she did not have relations until she bore a son. And people say, well, the until means that she did so after that she and Joseph had a normal marriage. But the word until doesn't always in Aramaic imply that it happens after. Jesus says he'll be with us until the end of the world. Does that mean he's not going to be with us after that? No, that's not the meaning of the word. Also, in the Protoevangelion of James, when Mary was with child, one of the temple prophetesses claimed that she had, you know, broken her vows and had sex with a man. And so she wanted to inspect her. And I won't go into detail, but when her hand inspected Mary, just touched her, it withered and fell off. And everybody knew this story. And so let's say you're a good Israelite guy and you're taking her into your home and you saw what happened when she was touched there. You gonna go and have relations with her? Yeah, you want certain parts of your body to wither off. More power to you, but I don't think that's what people wanted. I don't think that's something even men can hear without going, ooh. So also, one of the other things we have pointing to her perpetual virginity is that in the New Testament, Jesus is not referred to as the son of Joseph. He's referred to as the son of Mary. Now, that term, the son of Mary, the son of Judith, meant the only child of a widow. So being called the son of Mary means that Jesus was the only child of a widow, that Joseph had passed away, which makes sense if he was an old man when she married him. Now let's talk about a little bit about the teaching of her immaculate conception. All right. When the angel Gabriel comes to her, he doesn't say, Hail Mary, you are full of grace. He says, full of grace. He calls her the name full of grace. It's kerikatoname in Greek. You don't need to know Greek to know this. Sorry, I was just showing off. but what it means is, that's her name. Her name is full of grace. If you are full of grace, that means there is no sin in you. You're full of grace. You're full of God. All right. Remember when we read in Genesis that God would put enmity between Satan and Christ's mother. Well, if there's enmity, that means that she is free from sin. He can't get a foothold in her. But let's talk about the most important point about her being conceived without sin. And the Immaculate Conception doesn't refer to Christ. It refers to Mary. I always thought it referred to Christ, but it actually refers to Mary. She was conceived without sin from the moment of her life on earth, from the moment of her conception, no sin. That's because God was going to be inside of her. Christ's human nature, his flesh, his blood, his bones, came from Mary. That's what a baby does. It grows inside you and it takes from the mother what it needs to form. If she had sin in her, sin is in the flesh. That means that Christ had sin in him. That means for 9 months he was bound to Lucifer if Mary was subject to sin. I've seen many a pastor attempt to get around this. I heard one was just so clever because it's a problem. If Mary is not immaculately conceived, then people are like, well, how was Jesus protected from sin? And some people say, you know, well, he was protected by God. But yeah, he's the lamb without blemish. Where did his flesh? How did his flesh get away from being formed from flesh that was in sin. And I heard one pastor say that original sin was only in the men, not the women. So whomever God overshadowed, the child wouldn't have sin. And that's not what scripture says. It says everyone. I mean, for 2,000 years, Eve's been the scapegoat for sin. So I don't think that worked. But I also want you to understand that Martin Luther, who separated from the Catholic Church and formed Lutheranism, John Calvin, who separated from the Catholic Church and formed the Presbyterian Church, Zwingli, who started the Anabaptist movement versus the Baptists and evangelicals, those who baptize adults, all of them believed every single one of these doctrines about Mary, because they said there was no way that these couldn't be true because of Christ. You know, everything that we believe about Mary comes from Scripture, but also is the logical conclusion of what we know about Christ. So our honor of her has nothing to do with her power in and of herself. It has to do with her relationship to her son. And many of us turn to her and ask her to intercede for us, to pray for us, to go to her son and ask favors as the Queen Mother. Because there are many people who have problems with the masculinity of how God has been presented. And if you have problems with that, Mary is the solution. You know, Christ suffered every form of suffering that exists on this earth, from friends leaving him to his torturous death. He had rocks in his shoes. He cut his hands as a carpenter. He probably broke some fingers. And he suffered the way we suffer on earth, except for one thing. He never lost a child. Mary did. And she watched it happen. And because of that, because when the angel Gabriel came to her and she was immaculately conceived, which means that she could see clearly and was not clouded by sin and ego and all the things that cloud our judgment. When the angel Gabriel came to her and said, "You're going to have the Messiah," she knew. Scripture tells us that the Messiah is going to suffer a horrible death. If an angel came to me and said, "Christina, you're going to have a child, and that child is going to be tortured before your eyes and killed so that child molesters and rapists and murderers can go to heaven, will you do it?" I'd have said no. But Mary said yes. And that yes, that fiat, is why we honor her so much. She did something amazing for us. And because of that, we owe her a great deal of gratitude. And Christ loves his mommy. And if Christ loves his mommy, so much more should we. So I'll conclude that by honoring her with her prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
joy of one to see her own son, Jesus Christ, when he was first the son. When he was first the son, good man and blessed may he be. O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for all eternity. The next good joy that Mary had, it was the joy of two, to see her own son Jesus Christ when he was sent to school. When he was sent to school, good man and blessed may he be. O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for all eternity. The next good joy that Mary had, it was the joy of three, to see her own son Jesus Christ, to make the blind to see, to make the blind to see. Good man and blessed may he be. O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for all eternity. The next good joy that Mary had, it was the joy of four, to see her own son Jesus Christ, to read the Bible, Lord, to read the Bible, Lord. Good man and blessed may he be. O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for all eternity. The next good joy that Mary had, it was the joy of five, to see her own son Jesus Christ, to bring the dead alive, to bring the dead alive. Good man and blessed may he be. O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for all eternity. The next good joy that Mary had, it was the joy of six, to see her own son Jesus Christ upon the crucifix, upon the crucifix. Good man and blessed may he be. O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for all eternity. The last good joy that Mary had, it was the joy of seven, to see her own son Jesus Christ, to wear the crown of heaven, to wear the crown of heaven. Good man and blessed may he be. O Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, for all eternity.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. James tells us that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful indeed and can remove sin. So we confess to each other and to Almighty God that we have sinned through our own fault, by what we have done and what we have failed to do, for choosing ego over love, the gift over the giver, the creature over the creator. We ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, we ask the Blessed Mary, ever virgin, all the angels and saints, and all of you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. Our first reading is from the prophet Micah. Thus says the Lord, you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler of Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, the Lord will give them up until the time when she who is to give birth has borne, and the rest of his kindred shall return to the children of Israel. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord, in the majestic name of the Lord his God, and they shall remain, for now his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth. He shall be peace. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Responsorial Psalm is Psalm 80. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. O Shepherd of Israel, hearken. From your throne upon the cherubim, shine forth. Rouse your power, and come to save us. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. Once again, O Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and see. Take care of this vine, and protect what your right hand has planted, the Son of Man, whom you yourself made strong. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. May your help be with the man of your right hand, with the Son of Man, whom you yourself made strong. Then we will no more withdraw from you. Give us new life, and we shall call upon your name. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. Second reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, as it is written of me in the scroll, behold, I came to do your will, O God. First, he says, sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, you neither desired nor delighted in. These are offered according to the law. Then he says, behold, I come to do your will. He takes away the first to establish the second. By this will, we have been consecrated through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste, to the town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How does it happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of a homily today, because I spoke of these readings already, we're going to move after the Nicene Creed to our guided meditation. I'm going to do something a little differently today. Instead of the prayers of the faithful after the guided meditation, I want to see if anyone wants to call in with a specific issue or intention. So I'm going to keep going, but you can call in, and when the time comes, we'll bring you up on our switchboard, if I could figure it out. Lord help me. The call-in line number is 347-633-9174. Again, that number is 347-633-9174. And I'll give it again when the time comes. If you call in and you have to wait, it's because I want to do this after the guided meditation because there is no homily. If you ran to get a pen and paper, or you're at your computer and just brought up Word, the number again is 347-633-9174. Let us make our profession of faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now, as I said before, we're going to do the prayers of the faithful after we do our guided meditation. Right now in the chat room, I'm putting up our call-in number. Again, it's 347-633-9174. I'm going to play a Christmas song for you. I want you to go get ready for our guided meditation. Find your comfortable chair. Sit down with your feet flat on the ground and your hands folded. Go get something to drink real quick. Use the restroom. You have 3.5 minutes. So I'm going to play this clip and you go get ready. Okay, after our guided meditation, I'll give the number again to call in for prayers or just to ask a question or talk. And once I give the number, I'll play another song for you to get ready and call in if you'd like. Okay, I want you sitting down, your feet flat on the floor, your hands on your thighs or knees or folded on your lap. First, tense up your feet and then relax. While you're doing this, breathe in through your nose, 1, 2, 3, out through your mouth, 1, 2, 3, in through your nose, 1, 2, 3, out through your mouth, 1, 2, 3, just like that. When you breathe in, hold it for a second and then breathe out. Now I want you to tense your calves and release. Tense your thighs and release. Tense your buttocks and release. Tense your low back and release. Tense your shoulders and release. Tense your biceps and release. Clench your hands and release. Tense your neck and release. And scrunch your face and release. I want you to close your eyes and imagine sitting in front of a 10-foot tall, beautifully multicolored lit Christmas tree. Just look at it, the golden ornaments, the garland, the tree topper with the star. I want you to just sit in a chair beneath this tree and look at it and enjoy its light. Just feel the beauty of having nothing to worry about, nothing to do. Keep your mind empty of all the day stress. If a thought comes into it, I want you to just let it go as if it's a river coming in and going out of your mind. While you're looking at the Christmas tree, there's a woman dressed in a blue dress with a blue scarf over her head. She has a beautiful smile. She's in her 50s or 60s, and she's walking over to you, gently, clearly coming towards you. And she stops as she gets near you, about 3 feet, and she waves to someone from the side, and over comes Jesus. And the two of them walk to you and sort of give you a group hug as you stand up to greet them. And Jesus says, "This is my mother, Mary. She can help you in all your trials if you turn to her. You can turn to me as well. It's your choice." And then Mary says to you, "While I'm here, I want you to think for a moment of what you need the most this year. Right now, what is your most pressing need, your deepest desire? Don't think of something for someone else unless it's something you really need. It could be anything. Money, health, patience, a job. Think deeply about what you need the most right now." And Mary says, "My child, what is it? What do you need from my son?" And you say, And Mary turns to Jesus and says, I want her to have this. And Jesus nods and says, it will be done. Anything for you. And then he comes closer and gives you a hug. He has something to tell you, some words of comfort, something you need to hear this holiday season. And he pulls you back with his hands on your shoulders and he says, and then you look to Mary and she smiles and nods and says, his words are always true. And then she hugs you and kisses you gently on the forehead and says, we have to go, but you call us anytime. And the two of them take hands and walk off together. And Jesus turns back and waves and says, you will have what you need. You may not understand how it's going to come to you, but you will get what you need. Keep asking me. Keep asking. Keep praying. And then they disappear behind the tree. I want you to sit back down in the chair in front of the tree and close your eyes so you can't see the tree anymore. And I want you to breathe in through your nose. 1, 2, 3. Hold. Out through your mouth. 1, 2, 3. In through your nose. 1, 2, 3. Hold. Out through your mouth. 1, 2, 3. In through your nose. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold. Out through your mouth. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I want you to feel light go from your head into your feet. Just get trapped inside your body. Open your eyes, come back to your room, stretch, get a tissue if you need it. If you'd like to call in, talk about what was said to you, what you need this season, ask for prayers, for anything. The number is 347-633-9174. It's also on our chat. I'm going to play a song. And during the song, you're welcome to call in. If not, just talk a little bit more and pray. The number again is 347-633-9174. Now, you can continue to call in if you'd like while we talk. The number is 347-633-9174. I do understand that this time in the morning, not a lot of people join us live. We're a very popular download show in the thousands, but we're not a live show. A lot of people today, especially, are out there shopping, going crazy, and that I get. I totally understand that. But let's do the prayers of the faithful anyway. Your response is, Lord, hear our prayer. For our church, as we begin our campaign to build a church where we can worship physically together, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those who are looking for jobs, may the Lord comfort them and bring them into work that they love and can do and sustain their families with. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those who are chronically ill and suffering from constant pain, may the Lord's comforting presence come to them, help heal their minds, and give them the strength to cope with their illness as they try to find answers. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those families who will be missing children, adults, loved ones this holiday season because they are stationed overseas protecting our freedom, may the Lord comfort you in their absence. May the Lord protect them where they are and bring them safely into your arms. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for all of those who will be traveling tomorrow, today, to get home for the holidays. May the Lord protect your travel, bring you safely home, and give you wonderful tidings and reunions. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those who will be alone this Christmas season, may the Lord join you so that you do not feel lonely. May he bring you peace. May he bring you solace. And may you find in him a constant companion in your journey in life. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit this Christmas season so that all feel the healing power of God and the joy of having Christ come into our lives like a present under a tree. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for those who have special intentions in their heart that they speak to you now. For these and all our intentions, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. For those who have died, may the Lord bring them quickly into his presence and comfort their families so that they may live in peace and know that their loved ones have not left them forever, but have only gone to God and are waiting for their reunion. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray everywhere and always for all of our intentions. We pray for your peace to come upon us this holiday season, to relax our anxieties, to ensure that we never worry, because you are there to take care of us. For this, we pray to the Lord with the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You know, we should close this Mass, and then we'll talk a little bit about the things that we need to deal with this holiday season, about New Year's resolutions and the like. So, Lord, when we were lost and could not find the way, you loved us more than ever. We ask you to keep us free from every anxiety as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This worship has ended. Go in peace to love and serve God by always loving and serving each other. And may the Lord bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Thanks be to God. I play a little song. Our call-in number is 347-633-9174. I'm going to play a little song, and we're going to talk a little bit about the season. You know, we're doing our episode backwards because I was thinking about it and I thought, you know what, we can actually do Bishop's Bible. I didn't think we'd have time. I must have spoken really, really quickly at the beginning. So why don't we do that? We're in Genesis 4. And remember that Adam and Eve have just been kicked out of Eden. And we last read that when God expelled the man, he settled him east of the Garden of Eden, and he stationed the cherubim and the fiery revolving sword to guard the way to the tree of life. Cain and Abel. The man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have produced a man with the help of the Lord." Next she bore his brother Abel. Abel became a keeper of flocks, and Cain a tiller of the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the soil, while Abel, for his part, brought one of the best firstlings from his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, God did not. Cain greatly resented this and was crestfallen. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you so resentful and crestfallen? If you do well, you can hold up your head. But if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. His urge is toward you, yet you can be his master." Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let us go out in the field." When they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" He answered, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord then said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the soil. Therefore you shall be banned from the soil that opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. If you till the soil, it shall no longer give you its produce. You shall become a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is too great to bear. Since you have now banished me from the soil, I must avoid your presence and become a restless wanderer on the earth. Anyone may kill me at sight. Not so, the Lord said to him. If anyone kills Cain, Cain shall be avenged sevenfold. So the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest anyone should kill him at sight. Cain then left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. You know, this whole thing, as brief as it is absolutely amazing. Because, look, Adam and Eve fall, and the first thing that happens is a murder. He murders his brother. And this is just astonishing to me. However, my very favorite verse in this, what we call pericope, which is, you know, a story contained in scripture that's sort of self-contained, is this. Why are you so resentful and crestfallen? If you do well, you can hold up your head. Listen to this. But if not, sin is a demon lurking at the door. His urge is toward you, yet you can be his master. Doing wrong is not an urge we have. It's an urge toward us. Isn't that interesting? We can be its master. New Year's is coming up, and I think a lot of us are asking or writing down resolutions, and our resolutions all have to do with discipline, isn't it? Have you resolved to lose weight? You have to eat in a disciplined manner. Have you resolved to be more organized? You have to spend your time in a disciplined manner. Are you resolving to be kinder, to make more money, to start a business, to not be so anxious, to be kinder, to be gentler? Whatever it is, you are resolving to be disciplined. Discipline makes a happy person. Happy people are disciplined. Why? Because when you bring discipline into your life in any way, it sort of moves outward toward the rest of your life. And a disciplined person is happy because they have time now. Discipline gives you more time when you're organized, when you're ready for things. You know, you don't have to discipline every second, but any kind of organization added to your life brings more organization and gives you more free time. That's why discipline is so wonderful. And this line from God, as sin is a demon lurking at the door. Its urge is towards you, but you can be its master. We can master anything. Anything. We can master anything that we want to in our lives. We just have to fight that urge to not do it. It's part of original sin. Our urge is against the things that are best for us. And I'm one of the biggest offenders. I mean, I like to eat. My urge is to not eat in a healthy manner. My urge is to eat too much bread, frankly. I'm a carb addict. And I'm working hard to beat that addiction. You know, addiction attachment means to be nailed to. Now, when you're attached to something, no matter what it is, it means to be nailed to. And typically, we are trying to do one of two things in our New Year's resolutions. To give up something that we're addicted to, or to be more disciplined, to bring discipline into our lives so that we can do the things that we are not doing. And let me tell you, those are hard. Those are two of the hardest things to do. I belonged to a gym for years. And like January 5th, you couldn't find a machine to get on. Everyone was there. By the time March came, it was empty again. Everybody, the gym sold tons of memberships every January, and then all of them got canceled by March. And they knew that. They planned for it. It's unbelievable how we do that. But we do. Sin is a demon lurking at the door. And remember, sin isn't, you know, doing something horrible like murder. Sin is missing the mark. And we all miss our marks. The ones God has set for us and the ones we set for ourselves. I mean, my God, do you know how many diets I've started tomorrow? And the worst thing is every time you start a diet tomorrow, you binge today. So, well, I'm starting tomorrow, so I better have it. And then tomorrow, something happened, I didn't make it, so I'll start the diet tomorrow, but I'll binge today. And before you know it, you've been starting a diet tomorrow for 3 weeks, and you've gained 10 pounds. And that's us. That's what we do. And it's part of the human condition. So what I want to suggest for you for New Year's resolutions is this. A give up an addiction and add discipline, but only for one thing each. If you want to lose weight, all right, you're giving up an addiction and you're adding discipline. Pick that. Don't make a 10-item list, because when you overwhelm yourself, you don't do anything. You freeze. Pick one thing, because once you bring that one thing into one part of your life, it bleeds into everything. I went on a very successful diet in 2005. I was a size 6 at the end of the diet. But I also had a cleaner house. I work from home on contracts. I have to divvy up my time. Very disciplined matter. I did that better. I was better with money. I knew what was in my checking account instead of using the force. And, well, I think I got about $200 in there. Always use the force for my checking account. Never balance a checkbook. But even that got better. Everything got better because I picked one thing. And discipline and fighting addiction goes into every area of your life when you pick one area of your life. So do that for your New Year's resolutions. And I pray that God will help you with that and that you'll have an easy time of it. And please pray for me in my attempts to do the same. Because I'm human like you. And while I may talk a good game, boy, do I have problems. So don't think Bishop's preaching to you. Bishop's preaching to her, too. So we've come to the end of our program. I'm sorry that it went backwards, but sometimes the Holy Spirit does that for a reason. And I'm hoping that somebody out there was helped by, wasn't disorganized. I just didn't think I'd have time to do everything, but I did. And, hopefully that was for the good. I want to let you know about a couple of things coming up. Christmas evening, we have our Christmas evening event. It's at 8 o'clock, on Christmas Day. And it's an opportunity for you to call in and just bash what happened that day. You want to tell us about Uncle Joe and him kicking the cat and your neighbors yelling at you for being too loud and trying to get the keys from your brother-in-law so he wouldn't drive home, whatever it is. Or do you want to tell us what it was like to watch your 2-year-old open a gift and go nuts? You know, that I'd like to hear that too. We want to hear good stories in addition to bad. It's a hard holiday for a lot of us. A lot of us just simply don't like Christmas. And then there are a lot of us who love it, like me, but then after all the gifts are open and the turkey's done and you're sitting there and you're thinking, now what? What do I do with myself? You know, it's all over. For the past 4 weeks, I've been focused on this, and now I don't know what to do with myself. You know, it's hard. And when we all come together and sort of talk about these things, I think it's a little bit easier. So we have that coming up. And then that same week on the 28th, we have all the things you were afraid to ask Father. And you can call and ask all about the faith, anything you want, from why do the bishops wear those weird little beanies? Why is Pope wear white? Where did we get the name Pope? Why do we claim to be ancient when, you know, there doesn't seem to be evidence of that? Why is the Eucharist the body and blood? Anything you want to ask, you call and ask us. And it's a fun show. I usually did this with my RCIA group when I worked for the Roman Catholic Church. RCIA was the group that were coming in to become Catholic, to be confirmed, to take First Communion, some of them to be baptized, which all happens on Easter Vigil. And so that was kind of funny. But you can call in and ask those questions. In addition, in our archived shows, you're going to start finding, and check the upcoming shows if you want to do it live. I am putting up prayers. We already have the rosary up there, and it's only been there for a day, and we've got a lot of downloads. I did the Joyful Mysteries. Next, I will do the Luminous Mysteries, then the Sorrowful Mysteries, and then the Glorious Mysteries, so you'll have all of them to pray. If you've never prayed a rosary before, go online and look up Rosary Instructions, Catholic Answers, which I think is catholic.org, has a great sheet of a diagram. It is confusing, but if you follow me as I pray and just move from bead to bead to bead, you'll start to understand how to do it. And once you do it, it's an incredibly beautiful meditative prayer. So look for those. I will also, next, I'm going to be putting up a St. Michael's Chaplet, which is a beautiful prayer of protection to all nine choirs of angels. Next week, I think after New Year's, I'm going to have a midweek program about demonology. I'm not a demonologist in the sense of battling demons and exorcism. However, I do study. I know a lot about the occult and about various types of demons, and I have had encounters. So we'll be talking about that. I'll probably have a couple of guest callers, of people in the paranormal community in which I myself belong, to which I myself belong, and we're going to talk about the dark side of life, because it's not just the cross. The purpose of the cross was to stop what was happening. Sin is a demon lurking at the door. Its urge is always toward you. So we're going to talk about that, the serpent, the Leviathan, the dragon, Revelation, even a little bit of the end times in there. I'm going to schedule that, and it'll probably be the week after New Year's Day, but look for it. If you want to know when I've scheduled a show, you can go to our account, our profile, and follow us, and then you'll get an alert on your Facebook and your email that we've scheduled a show and that things are coming up. Now, we are officially a church. We have been registered and incorporated. We can start taking donations. However, I'm not going to ask for that. If you would like to, that's great. You can email us and ask us how. However, keep listening. Just keep listening. See if you like us. If you need to contact us or me to schedule a wedding, and if you are a same-sex couple living in Illinois, you could schedule a wedding with me or a heterosexual couple, because I will do weddings from standing out in the forest and exchanging self-written vows to a full Catholic mass with all the trappings. I will do what you need done in order to enter into your covenant of marriage. So you can email me at charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. Charismatic is charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. So shoot me an email. If you are looking for baptism, communion, confirmation, we are working on donations and grants to build a church, but we have access to a venue. If you are in Northern Illinois and would like to receive those sacraments, we do have the ability to offer those. And again, you can contact me at charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. If you would like to receive the sacraments. Receiving the sacraments does not necessarily mean you're joining us. You can do that as well. But if you receive these sacraments, they are not valid in the Roman Catholic Church. They are valid for us. And we would love to have you as part of our parishioners. I would also like to hear from some of you about show topics, and understand people get hinky about emailing the church. I'll let you know that if you email us, it's completely confidential. I read the emails, I alone. I will never bug you with requests for money or anything like that. So you are free to email me confidentially if you'd like to be in the prayers of the faithful for an intention, if you'd like to receive the sacraments, if you'd like to set up a wedding. You just email me and let me know. You can also contact us through Blog Talk Radio. There is a message option. You can contact us on Facebook at Charismatic Universalist. You can like us there. We had a friend account, but we're moving toward a public account where you can like us. I am now on Twitter, Bishop Rake. I am at Bishop Rake. Capitalized B, capitalized R. Also on WordPress, I've begun a blog, and that's bishoprake.wordpress.com. And you could come read that blog. So I've given you our Facebook page, come along. I've given you our Twitter account, join us and follow us. And I have given you our email, our web address, www.charismatic-universalist.com or org. We own both, and you can come look and see what's going on with us. I am going to bless you and then close and say a quick prayer. Lord God, thank you for our time together. We thank you that the Holy Spirit enters into the show and moves things around so that people can be touched in different ways. I thank you for all of these wonderful people, and I would like to remind all of you that God loves each of you as if there were only one of you. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Thank you.